This is Tuesday, August 17th, 1999. I'm in the Bentley Rare Book Gallery at Kennesaw State University, and today I am interviewing Dorothy Odom, who worked at the Bell Aircraft Plant in Marietta during World War II. And I am Tom Scott. Miss Odom, why don't we just begin with a little bit of background information about you. First of all, are you from Georgia?
Atlanta.
You were born and grew up in Atlanta.
Yeah, true.
And then what year did you go to work at the Bell Aircraft Plant?
Get that out of the way here, and I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I think it was around 45, 42.
Well, was it after the plant was already in full production that
Not
you started?
Not really, because like I said, I was in the personnel department, the employment department.
Right.
And they were desperate for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of girlfriends, and we worked some nights till 12 and 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
they were so in need of help.
Okay, so how many workers were there at Bell when you started, would you say? Just a few thousand?
Or? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is probably 1943 then.
Thank you, yeah, probably. Yeah, that's better.
Because 1943 is is actually March before the plant was built. And I think at that time they had about 1,000 workers and were just starting up. And
yeah. Uh-huh.
It's the end of 43 before the first plane comes off the assembly line.
Well, I know they were desperate for workers because we worked our off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'd go home some nights with that ditto all over me.
Mm. Well, let me ask you before we get in too much about working at Bell is how were you hired at Bell in the first place? I guess it was easy to hear about the plant in operation, but how did you go about getting a job?
They hired an employment agency first off to Mr. Talavera.
Mr. Talavera?
T-A-L-I-F-E-R-R-O, Talavera.
Right.
They called him Tolliver.
In Georgia, they call it Tolliver.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And he was...
employment agency.
Okay. Oh, it was an employment agency.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it's called Tolliver...
Associates.
So you went to... did you have a high school degree at that time? Or?
Yes, and I had some college.
Did you? Where did you go to high school?
Bass.
At Bass?
Uh-huh.
And then where did you go to college?
Commercial and then Georgia State.
Uh-huh.
Well, what used to be Georgia Evening College.
Uh-huh. And which was basically a business school at that time, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
How much college did you have?
2 years.
2 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so then you go to an employment agency, and did you get called in for an interview? Or?
Yes.
Okay. And where did you go for your interview?
Rhodes Center.
Rhodes Center.
Uh-huh.
And that's where you're talking about this at Peachtree and West Peachtree.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Was this where Bell was headquartered at that time, or was this just an employment office?
It was
office?
Just an employment office.
Okay.
I think Bell was headquartered up east somewhere.
Yeah, the headquarters was in Buffalo, New York. But I meant... I knew they had some facilities in Atlanta, and this was one of them, I gather, but this is just a relatively tiny place?
Well, on Jones Avenue, where the second employment office was, it was bigger than the other place.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it was an old... manufacturing plant, I think, and the employment office was up on the second floor, so they had more there than other places.
I see. So you were hired right away to work in personnel?
Correct.
And so primarily your office is involved in hiring people at that time?
Hiring people, yeah.
Okay.
And being sure they had the right... papers like birth certificates and citizenship and that sort of thing.
I see.
You'd be surprised some people didn't have birth certificates.
Probably pretty rare in the South at that time to have a birth certificate, wasn't it?
I know, yet they you can't come to work with just that. You got to have this and this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, when they come back, they had the family Bible, this big old thing.
Mm-hmm. 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 Now, was your job as a secretary?
No, just processing people, I guess.
So a clerk or?
Processing there. Being sure they had the correct amount of information.
Yeah.
But they fill out the application, and then I would check it and be sure they had the birth certificate information and all that good stuff.
Right, right. And then what did you do with that? Once who actually made the decision to hire them? How was that done?
Well, basically, they took everybody because they were so in need. But they're toward the end, when they were getting enough people, they were a little more, shall I say, choosy.
Uh-huh, right. Right. One of the interviews that I was showing you a little bit earlier with Ernestine Slade, she talks that she is a black woman who was a domestic in Marietta, and she talks about going into Atlanta to get her job because she was afraid they wouldn't hire her in Marietta.
Oh.
She was afraid that they wouldn't hire away the servants of the well-to-do, so she went into Atlanta and got her job there.
Very good. Yeah.
So. Were there, Ernestine Slade was African American. Were there lots of blacks who applied for jobs where you were, or was it segregated?
It was more or less segregated.
Okay. So you really didn't see anything but whites.
That's right, yeah.
Who came through at Jones Avenue.
Yeah.
Who did you work for? You remember any longer who your bosses would be? One of the reasons I was wondering is that I did an interview last October up in New York with a man named Bill Giesel, who was sent down here to start up the payroll department, I guess it was.
And, no, I don't remember any of the names, I'm sorry.
Do you remember whether they were native Georgians or from Buffalo?
No, they were from elsewhere, okay. Most of them, yeah.
So these are Northerners who would come down? Now, when did you go to work at the plant in Marietta? You worked at Jones Avenue for a while, and then you came out to Marietta?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how long you were at Jones Avenue?
I would say less than a year.
Uh-huh. Okay, and so by 1944, probably, you'd come out to Marietta?
True.
How did you get out to Marietta? Did you ride the trolley? Or?
Well, I'll have to go into it a little more.
Okay.
The same employment agency that I went to, they had another applicant that turned out to be my maid of honor.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, she was from South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And she and her girlfriend came down from South Carolina to go to work at Bell.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you remember, but housing was hard to get then.
Right.
And so they came to live with my mother and I.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we didn't have many automobiles then, and Mama and I took a taxi and carried them back to our house with their goods, in the taxi.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I got to be. In fact, Graydon and Jan and I.
What were the names again?
Graydon.
Graydon.
G-R-A-Y-D-O-N.
Uh-huh.
And Jenny.
Jenny. J-E-N-N-A. J-E-N-N.
Y.
Y. Okay. So Graydon and Jenny and you.
And the lady, I guess it was the start of carpooling.
Uh-huh.
And she would come by my house and pick up the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we would sleep from my house to Marietta.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because they didn't have any of the freeways as they do now.
Right.
You know, 41 is all it was.
Mm-hmm.
So we would sleep.
Yeah. whereabouts in Atlanta did you live?
Northeast, over toward Piedmont Park.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so you're living with your mother. You didn't have to go out and try to find housing then at that time.
No.
Okay. And this is before you're married, and your name was Lee at that time?
No, Petty.
Is Petty?
P-E-T-T-Y, yeah.
P-E-T-T-Y. Okay. So when you worked at Bell, you were Dorothy Petty. Okay. And so the four of you all would come out together on U.S. 41.
Right? Well, let's see. She had, I think she had two more people.
Oh, six of you.
Yeah, she had a car full.
Mm-hmm. I guess she got more gas in the rationing system.
Oh, yeah,
because,
I'm sure she did.
Because
yeah,
of that.
I'm sure she did.
Well, now, when you say you came out U.S. 41, 41 had just become, I guess, a four-lane road to Marietta at that time. And so, in fact, everybody called it the four-lane around
yeah,
here.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so that's the way you came up, was
right,
the four-lane.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Right by where Cumberland Mall is nowadays and all of that.
Right.
Which I think was a Boy Scout camp at that time, way out in the woods, wasn't it?
Probably, yeah.
And so, how long did it take you to get here from home to the plant?
I don't know.
So, but
it took probably 45 minutes or so, or maybe longer.
Was there much traffic?
No.
Okay.
No. Not nearly like what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, I guess really, in a sense, the war didn't change things a whole lot for you, and that I guess you didn't have to worry about housing and those kinds of things, and where you bought your groceries and what have you.
I got to tell you something, Deb.
Okay.
You'll probably kill me. You're stuck in about not affecting me anyway. That was around Christmas time, and the two of them and me were going shopping downtown, and we were crossing Broad Street.
Uh-huh.
And about that time, my unmentionables dropped to my ankles.
Mm.
That was because all the elastic had gone to war, and all my unmentionables had were buttons.
I see.
And those two fools just walked off like they didn't even know me.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't want to associate with
you. I picked them up and put them in my pocketbook and went off.
Well, I guess the war did affect everybody then, didn't it? How was the social life in those days?
We worked so long, we didn't have much.
Is that right? Well, how many hours did you work a week at Bell?
Well, we worked some nights till midnight.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. From 8 or 9 in the morning till midnight.
Now, were you on hourly wages and the way you were paid? And so you got overtime when you worked extra?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you wouldn't be salaried work, I guess.
Well, I think I was salaried and then some overtime.
Okay. Okay. You remember about what the wages were that you were making at Bell?
No. I know.
Did it seem like a lot at the time?
It did to me. Yeah.
That seemed to be a universal experience of
people,
that wages were a lot better at Bell than people had experienced before.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit, once you came out to the plant, you were in the B2 building, the administration building. I was over there just a week or so ago, and it hadn't changed that much, I don't think, since then. It's a relatively small building, the administration part, it seems to me, compared to that huge plant. But did you run into the big shots while you were over there? The Jimmy Carmichaels and so on. Did you ever run into them in the halls or anything?
If I did, I didn't know it.
Okay. So you just went to your office and did your job.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you say you worked at midnight. What time did you start each day? What time?
9.
You started at 9, and you often worked to midnight.
And some people have made a comment about the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
Well, evidently, the people that I associated with didn't have such high regard as some of the others.
Uh-huh.
So one of the guys that worked in my department would gather up a carload, and we'd go to Marietta to the Elks Club for lunch.
Oh, okay.
So
where was that located?
Elks Club.
Uh-huh. Do you remember where?
Just in Marietta. And, he had two great old big dogs
mm-hmm.
that he let him out at noon.
Yeah.
And load us up and take us to lunch, isn't it?
Yeah. So you weren't impressed with the cafeteria? So food wasn't very good? Okay. Was it, it looks like, you know, they had to feed a lot of people there. It looks like it was very crowded in those cafeterias.
That may be the reason we didn't like it. Because we only had a certain amount of time, you know, to eat, and I'm a slowpoke eater.
So. Well, now, when you went into Marietta to eat, was it right downtown on the square? Oh, no, you said the Elks Club. Did you ever go down to the square in Marietta?
Uh-uh. I think we went somewhere else for lunch sometime, but Elks Club was mostly it. Wasn't too bad.
Did you do any shopping in Marietta? Or?
No.
So you just worked at the plant and then went home.
That's right.
And in fact, if you were working from 9 in the morning to 12 at night, I don't guess you had too much time to sleep, did you?
No.
How would you describe your experience at Vail? Was it the experience of a lifetime or just a relatively unimportant part of your life? Was it real exciting to be there during World War II?
Yes, it was. I don't think we that worked like I did were as glamorous as Rosie the Riveter, but we did our part.
Right, right.
And I felt like I was doing something, so I felt pretty good about it.
Now, when you came out to the plant in Marietta, were you still looking at people's birth certificates and that kind of job, or had the job description changed when you came out here?
No, it was the same thing. They were still going.
You're still hiring people.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they're coming into the B2 building to apply for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're still... you're meeting a lot of people. You're saying very few people have birth certificates. What percentage would you say you could really read and write of the people coming to work at Vail? Was it a high rate of literacy, or did you run into a lot of people that had a third grade education?
Yeah, something like that. They were medium. I mean, some of them you would have to explain some of the things on the farms to them. And not all of them were black. There were some white people, but necessarily.
Who couldn't read the form?
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what positions they got, but I'm sure it wasn't secretary.
Right.
And I was telling Deb the other day when we were talking about this, I said I can remember hiring midgets to work in the nose cone.
Oh, really?
Because big people wouldn't fit in the nose cone, you know, those, I don't know if they prefer midgets or dwarfs or whatever, but little people.
Right. So you're actually policing people in jobs, and when they come through, you're...
And I think, in my opinion, when they came out of there, that they had more job skills, than they did when they came in.
Right.
Because they were building the plane, actually. They had to know one screw from another. So, in my opinion, I think they had a better education for getting a job than they did when they came in there.
Well, weren't there training schools in the plant?
Yeah.
And so, I guess if you're actually hiring somebody to be a riveter, you really send them to school first, don't you?
Yeah. Because, I mean, the riveters weren't there normally.
Yeah. So are you assigning them to go to a class?
They would advise us ahead of time that this department needs so many and this department needs so many, and you would send them to that department head.
I know that it's a segregated plant at Vail, but I've also got a few pictures where it looks like blacks and whites are working together in at least a few situations. How did you handle that? If there were black workers, did you assign them to different buildings or whatever than where the whites were?
No. We were briefed. Basically, this requires so-and-so, and this requires so-and-so. Mm-hmm. So when they sent us, we need so many in this department, so many in that department.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. Color didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
We just.
So blacks and whites are actually working together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I do have a few pictures where it looks exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not exactly sure how segregation worked at the plant. I've also heard of blacks being in separate buildings working from whites.
I hadn't heard that.
You haven't heard
uh-uh.
that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So as far as you know, they're working. What about where you're working? Were there any blacks at all that are working as secretaries or doing personnel work?
Yes,
or
I
what
think
it?
So.
Were there?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And they were pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So in your office, there were black workers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they're pulling their own weight? Okay. All right. You had mentioned earlier when we looked at the picture of the Ditto machine that you used to. You say a word or two about the, what it was like to be an office worker, what kind of equipment that you had to work with in those days.
I hated them. I hated them.
Because they got ink all over your hands.
Yeah. Not even my hands.
And everything else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you didn't have Ditto machines that you had to work with. Could you say anything else about what kind of typewriters did you have?
Manual.
Yeah, that's the only thing there were at that time, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So, and any other equipment that you can think of that would have been standard then and that nobody would use nowadays?
That's about the only basic piece of equipment was a Ditto machine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a typewriter.
Yeah.
And most of it was done with pen, pencil.
Mm-hmm. Filling out the forms.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Really with
pen. Because that was the majority of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically what we used the Ditto machine for was to make copies of forms that they had brought in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so
some of it was real old and precious to them, and they didn't want to give them up.
Oh, I
so
see. I see. So if they bring a birth certificate, you make a copy of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. This is not exactly like putting it on the Xerox machine and making a copy. How do you make a copy with a Ditto machine? How did you make a copy on a Ditto machine?
Put this purple stuff in there.
Yeah. You put the purple stuff in the machine.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then what do you do with the document?
You roll it.
Uh-huh.
It's like a...
Yeah, okay. But this is making originals, isn't it? Well, you were talking about people bringing in something that was precious. So so what you're saying is that you actually type it over again?
No. It would have like a... What am I trying to say? Drum.
Yeah.
Drum thing that you put it on and...
Yeah.
Wrote it through.
Okay. And what would you do with the original then? Is it?
You put it on the drum this way.
Okay.
And roll it through.
And that doesn't destroy the original to do that?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Okay. Well, you're teaching me something.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know.
I don't want to know any more about it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay. Well, could you say just a little bit more about the people at Bell? Would you say these are people who are really excited like you were that they're doing their patriotic duty? Or
the two I mentioned before, of course, were my closest friends, and
uh-huh.
they worked
yeah.
side by side with me,
mm-hmm.
and met some others while we were working there, and that were very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't meet any ugly people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
They were all very nice and friendly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What would you say the impact of Bell was, first of all, on you? Did it teach you some skills that helped you later on? Or
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, because I basically already knew what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't do anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, now Ms. Odom, you worked from 43 to the end of the war at Bell. Did you stay till the plant closed?
No, I could see handwriting on the wall, I guess, for lack of a better expression.
Yeah.
And I left before it closed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could see that it was closing, you know, and
mm-hmm.
they were getting rid of people in my department. So
really?
I left before they closed.
It looked to me from the figures that the peak of employment was in February of 1945. And then, of course, the dropping of the A-bomb is in August of 45. So that, the victory in Europe doesn't even take place in May, but still it looks like February is about when it peaked. And I guess it was pretty obvious by that time that we were well on our way to victory in World War II, and
mm-hmm.
that they're beginning to cut back a little bit. And so would it have been sometime after VE Day that you quit?
That was 46.
No, that's 45.
45.
Yeah, May of 45 is victory in Europe, and then August of 45 in Japan, in Asia. Would it have been probably in that period after Hitler had been defeated and that you would have quit, do you think?
I think somewhere in there. I'm not real sure of the
mm-hmm.
date.
Okay.
I wish I could remember better, but I can't.
Mm-hmm. But when you left, they still had pretty large employment, but were, I guess, really in a place like personnel.
Yeah.
There
was
cutting
it down.
You really could be cutting back because they didn't need any more employees.
Yeah.
And apparently they laid just about everybody off within just a few weeks after the Japanese surrendered. Is that right?
I don't know.
Of course, you were gone by then, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But how long did you go to work at other places after you left Bell?
Oh, yeah. That's another story. I saw an ad in the paper for a secretary. That was
uh-huh.
what I supposed to be. And I answered it. Was down in, you don't know nothing about Bone Island building downtown.
The what building?
Bone Island.
How do you spell that?
B-O-N-A.
Oh, okay.
A-L-L-E-N.
A. B-O-N-A. A-L-L.
B-N.
Bone Island. Okay.
Well, anyway, I got a job for two bosses.
Uh-huh.
Neither of them needed a full-time secretary.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for one half-time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Worked out pretty good. Then when they decided to split up, one of them was a manufacturer's representative.
Mm-hmm.
And he built his own office.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what they were going to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they cut cards or something to see
mm-hmm.
who
mm-hmm.
I would go with. But
yeah.
Anyway, I went with the one that opened the office.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of nice.
Yeah.
New office and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you continue to work? Let's see, now you're not married yet at this time, are you? Or had you already?
No,
okay.
I was working for Mr. Parker. That's the guy I went to work for
mm-hmm.
for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in fact, he didn't want me to get married.
Mm.
And when I told him I was expecting, he said, "I'll fix your nursery here in the back, and you can bring the baby to work with you."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was working him, Debbie, when you were born.
So you continued working, didn't let marriage stand in the way of continuing to work then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you worked all your life?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, I think I'm just about at the end of the questions that I have that had to do with Bell Aircraft, but I just thought I'd give you an opportunity to, you know, if you wanted to talk about any of your experiences there, of anything that I didn't ask. Okay.
No. I worked for Mr. Parker 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
10
years.
Yeah, so So this would be like 45 to 55 or something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where else did you work after that?
Well, after that I went to work for Irvingdale Dairies.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell that? Irvingdale?
I-R-V-I-N-D-A-L-E.
Okay.
Irvingdale.
All
right.
I thought it had a G. Okay, Irvingdale Dairies.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's sort of an odd story about that. Uh-huh. When I first started to work for Mr. McGinney,
mm-hmm.
he was treasurer of the company.
Mr. McGinney?
M-C-G-I-N-T-Y.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He was treasurer of the company then,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and I went up to work for him. There was had an office on Spring Street,
uh-huh.
and then I got pregnant again,
mm-hmm.
and I left and got another job,
mm-hmm.
and then Mr. McGinney called the house and talked to my husband and wanted me to come back to work for him, so
mm-hmm.
On a Saturday, I told him, I said I was already working, but I'd have to give notice and see what, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to go back to work for him or not.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I went to, for an interview with him on a Saturday afternoon, and Monday morning I gave my notice at the other job,
mm-hmm.
because he was a love of a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess there's one other thing that's confusing to me. You showed me the badge that you had a little bit earlier for the plant, and it's listed Dorothy P. Lee, but you say your maiden name was Patty.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was married before.
Oh, okay. But you weren't married when you were working at Bell?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I wanted to ask you one other thing about those badges, too. I've heard stories that different badges allowed you to go into different parts of the plant, and you know, depending on whether it had a black circle around it or such as that. Do you remember anything about that?
Well, as far as I remember, I had no restrictions.
Uh-huh. So your badge allowed you to go anywhere?
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't want to, but...
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there was a... on your badge, there was a number that was attached to it, it seems like.
It's a number.
So that 27 is your
department
number.
Yeah.
And the badge itself looks like it's a laminated something. Did you say you think that's leather?
You meant this part.
The back part's leather, isn't it? That
yeah.
With a little clip on it, a little plastic clip. And the front part maybe...
What happened to that lady?
I can't remember what kind of... I'm not really sure, but it looks like it's kind of laminated hard at any rate. It's not plastic.
I was trying to see if there was any date on them anywhere, but there's not.
Uh-huh. But it's got your picture, and has your name on it, and what's it say, Bell Aircraft?
Yeah.
At the top it says the Bell Aircraft Corporation, Georgia Division. And and a number. Let's see, 06361 is your number. And then the department number below. And so you had to wear this everywhere when you were in the plant.
True.
Okay, great. Well, that's great that you've hung on to it all these years. Well, I believe I'm out of questions, but I sure do appreciate you coming today.
Well,
let me talk to you.
I hope I have helped some, or not too corny.
No, it helped a great deal. Thank you very much.